This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. By now, it's well known that craft beer is big business, especially in this particular part of the country. MIBiz has examined the state of craft brewing in West Michigan, including some of the challenges and expected changes in the market, for a series of stories. Nick Manis is a staff writer for MIBiz. Thank you again for being with us.
Thanks as always, Gordon. I appreciate it.
So if we were talking right now about the state of the craft beer industry, sort of like, you know, the State of the Union address, would we say it is strong?
I think you could definitely say it's strong. I think the number, the going number right now nationwide is something like two craft breweries opening every day. And that doesn't appear to be stopping right now. The Brewers Association, the National Trade Association, says that I believe there's more breweries in planning right now, just based on federal regulatory filings, than there were total breweries around just a few years ago.
And if we look around here in this part of Michigan, of course, Kalamazoo has Bell's and a number of other brewers which have opened their doors in recent years. Grand Rapids has a pretty strong craft brew footprint. Is it fair to say that this part of Michigan and maybe this part of the country is a little further ahead of the rest? Is that the sense you get when you talk to some of the people who look at this nationally?
You know, further ahead, I mean, quite possibly. I know Michigan is, you know, right up there. I don't call the exact number off the top of my head, but, you know, we're somewhere between top 5 and 10 in the country for total number of breweries. I mean, of course, states like Colorado and California and Oregon kind of have the premier sense of craft beer, but Michigan is definitely up there and continues to gain. I mean, you know, Founders and Bell's both are heavy hitters in that industry. Interestingly enough, Founders is no longer considered a craft brewery by the Brewers Association just because of a recent, you know, partial sale of the company to an outside firm.
So, I'm sorry, that's an interesting point you just brought up there. So, is there a certain sort of way of distinguishing what is a craft brewer from what is not a craft brewer? Are there certain sort of guidelines they look at when they're deciding who fits that bill and who doesn't?
Yeah, the Brewers Association, Colorado-based trade group, has, you know, a very specific set of guidelines for what is a craft brewer. And the reason that they do that is that they say, you know, they want to know exactly who they're going to bat for. So a company like Founders, for instance, last year when they sold a 30% stake in their company to a Spanish firm, the Brewers Association limit for outside ownership is 25%, I believe. So that main Founders, I think they call them an associate member, and there's a handful of other breweries that have kind of gone that route as well. I mean, some in California and Oregon, and I believe out of Chicago, you know, they no longer fit that exact description.
So if someone right now thinks that they have the next great thing in terms of craft brewing, what does the market look like for them right now to get into that business?
You know, I think kind of the main trend that we're seeing is that the pace of growth is slowing. I think, you know, a lot of people that we've talked to, I mean, I should say, you know, me and my colleagues and I all worked pretty hard on these stories. But kind of the one trend that came out is it's going to be hard to be the next Founders or Bell's or Deschutes or whichever, you know, big brewer you choose to look at now. The marketplace is, you know, is definitely becoming more saturated. I don't want to say in any way that it is saturated. I think there's more room for growth, but it's going to be hard to make your presence as one of those massive brewers now if you're just starting.
Is it sort of like trying to be the next Apple or the next Microsoft? Mm-hmm. That, you know, these are, it's an established industry now and there are established players in it, whereas when Bell's was getting started, it wasn't quite that way.
Sure, I think that's definitely fair. And, I mean, you know, it should be known that, you know, Bell's started more than a decade before Founders. So, you know, now they're, you know, roughly at the same place, you know, give or take a little bit. But Bell's had a 10-year head start, and we're definitely well ahead of that curve.
There's an interesting quote from one of your stories that I want to bring up here. Given the industry's growth trajectory, It's attracted a handful of people who are getting into the business to make money rather than to make quality beer. And that's starting to show, according to Dave Ringler, who founded Cedar Springs Brewing Company. I'm wondering if that says something about the way that the brewers and the people who've started these businesses view this business and the way they operate, that there's something to be done here besides make money.
Sure. I mean, I think for years, at least the cliche was that, you know, brewing is all about the passion. It's always been known as kind of this, you know, industry with a lot of camaraderie. You know, they don't view other breweries as competition. I think, you know, as the industry grows and as it matures, that's maybe, you know, changing to some extent. I don't think, you know, that's to say that, you know, every brewery out there views the brewery down the street as direct competition. And I think there's plenty of examples of where that camaraderie still exists. But I do think that the maturing of the industry will also bring about some of that sea change.
But is there still a fair amount of, you know, maybe not exact collaboration, but opportunities where two brewers do recognize that they can sort of complement each other rather than go head-to-head in all-out competition?
Absolutely, I think so. And I think, you know, the other big thing that's happening is, you know, increasingly there's the view of local is getting smaller. You know, a number of people that we talked to said, you know, local has gotten down to just 5 or 10 miles. Founders, you know, might be a local brewery to me here in Grand Rapids, but, you know, to somebody in Cedar Springs, they now have their local brewery right there. I think, you know, that creates more opportunity for somebody to get in just because that idea of local beer is getting so much smaller.
So are the established brewers looking to do anything different? Are they looking to expand in some way? Are they also exploring some other possibilities for business ventures?
Sure. I think there's kind of one thing that we wrote about is there's kind of a push, a little bit of pressure on many of the established brewers now, kind of from above and below. If some of them seek to expand, they need to look to different ways to do that. It might be, you know, private equity dollars, or, you know, in the case of founders, you know, selling a portion of your company to, you know, an outside firm. And then at the same time, you know, because of this push for local and more small breweries just, you know, popping up in neighborhoods or in outlying cities that have never had a craft brewery, you know, all of a sudden there's a sense of new competition. So it's, like I said, it's kind of a little bit of pressure from both sides, I think, for some of the established players.
And you actually talked to Bell's about this, and they said that one of the things that they're trying to do a little bit more of is rotate in new products rather than just kind of relying on the beers which have established their business and that they've been able to rely on for sales. Is it becoming the case that if you're going to continue to do well as a brewer, you need to be finding new beers that you can introduce to customers?
I think that's definitely true. I think, you know, every brewer realizes that they kind of have to have an IPA of some sort, but, you know, Bell's can't rely on the Two-Hearted will forever be their stalwart that can continue to help them grow. So they need to find new ways to, you know, keep consumers, you know, interested in what their beer is and come up with all kinds of new ways to keep those consumers happy.
And there's also an article on the MIBiz site about finding some of the new flavors and some of the new things that brewers are looking for. So what are some of those things that they are trying to develop that can give us a different beer, if you will?
Sure. I think fruit is certainly the big one. You know, I've got that story pulled up right now, and we've got a picture of Perrin's Grapefruit IPA on. That's become a pretty big seller for Perrin, from what I understand. So brewers are increasingly looking at, you know, grapefruit-infused IPAs. I know Deschutes has a big one with orange, orange flavoring in it. So, you know, increasingly that's just another way to differentiate yourself, is by having whatever, you know, might be seen as the newest and greatest flavor.
Do any of the brewers that you have talked to for these stories, Nick, express any concern, maybe not as much for themselves, but for someone else trying to get into this business, that we are nearing some sort of saturation point for craft beer?
You know, I think that's always a concern. Based on people that we've talked to, certainly I think, you know, understand that there might be a day when that's the case, but nobody seems to think that we're there right now. You know, like I said earlier, breweries continue to open. There's, you know, a couple thousand breweries just in planning right now around the country. And so I think, you know, kind of the general consensus is that as long as these breweries continue to differentiate themselves, and as long as there is that push towards a local beer, that there is room for continued growth. It just won't be at that same kind of breakneck pace that we've seen in over the last 5 to 10 years, perhaps.
Do people sort of view it as the case that there's always room for one more good brewer? Maybe not room necessarily for just one more brewer, but one more good brewer, someone who's got a good beer and maybe something a little different to offer the customer.
Sure. I think that's another thing that a couple of brewers brought up is, as long as there's a push towards quality and, you know, not every brewer out there is considered, you know, a quality brewer, that as long as you're producing quality, there will be, you know, continued room for growth.
Nick, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Gordon. I appreciate it as always.
Nick Manis is a staff writer for MI Biz. You can find their stories on the state of the craft beverage industry at mibiz.com. There's also a link available through our website, wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.